Shall we open in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we are grateful to Thee for this conference and this special opportunity to gather together around Thy Word, to praise Thee, to worship Thee, and also to listen to the testimonies of how we have been leading our sisters. Now, Lord, as we sit under the sound of Your Word, we pray that Thou will speak to each and every one according to their need. Oh, that the Word might go forth in the power and clarity of the Holy Spirit, that it might minister to the needs of every heart. We pray for Your blessing upon this session, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning again. I'm so happy to see so many sisters. I always see sisters because everyone back home is a sister. My wife, first child, second child, third child, fourth child, and the servant, all are sisters. So I can feel at home. Right. This morning I would like to share about an ordinary woman with an extraordinary God. We have been talking about an ordinary man. So this morning I would like to talk about an ordinary woman with an extraordinary God. We will read that in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. I will read from verse 3 to 9. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I'm sure this is a very, very familiar passage. Probably not a Sunday passage in our assemblies without anyone, you know, someone mentioning about this anointing with this precious ointment. Now, I would like to show you seven truths about what she did. I did not get this by reading anywhere or hearing anyone speak on this. Now, I'm not saying that for my praise. Just these thoughts came to my mind when I was reading this passage during my quiet time, and I immediately started noting them down. Of course, then I did some more study, but I found them to be very original and very good and very real. And from that day on, I've been sharing this in many, many places. I don't know, in these days of YouTube and all that, I wonder if some of you have already heard this message 5 times from me. But doesn't matter, most of you may not have heard. So if it is a repetition for some, that's okay. It's a good thing to hear good things again and again. We tend to hear bad things again and again from different people. So it's a good thing to hear good things again and again. So I'm really happy and excited to share these wonderful thoughts. Now, here is a woman whose name is not mentioned. You know, in verse 3, it simply says, there came a woman. So I call her an ordinary woman in the context of our conference. Just an ordinary woman. But when you read Matthew 26 and John chapter 12, we understand that this woman is Lazarus' sister Mary. Matthew 26 and John 12. You read almost the same thing there. So from that, it is generally believed that Mark 14 also is speaking of the same woman. In the Gospel of Luke, there is another woman. That's a different woman. That is not Mary. That is not the woman spoken of in John and Matthew and Mark. Luke's Gospel talks about another woman serving the Lord like this. All right. Now, you just look at the context of this service, what she did. See, in verse 1, we read about the chief priests and the scribes seeking to put Jesus to death. That's verse 1. And then you read about what this woman did. And then after concluding this description of what this woman did, what is the next verse? Verse 10. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went out of the chief priest to betray him unto them. So he is also planning to put Jesus to death. And the story of this woman is sandwiched between two groups of people who hate the Lord Jesus or who want to make money in the name of Jesus. In verse 1, the leaders of the religion, Jewish religion, they are plotting to put Jesus to death. And on the other hand, Judas, one of Jesus' friends or disciples, he is also plotting to make some money by betraying the Lord Jesus. Two people or groups of people who hated the Lord Jesus. And in the midst of that, here is an ordinary woman who loved the Lord Jesus. See, that is the context of this incident. Now, I just want to remind you, there are so many people in the world who love the world, who do not love the Lord Jesus. There are many women, fashionable, educated, beautiful, and worldly women. But in the midst of that, God has given you the privilege to love the Lord. On your both sides, there are many who hate the Lord. They don't want to hear about the Lord. They have nothing to do with the Lord. But sandwiched in between these two groups of people in the world, maybe in your office, in your hospital, in your neighborhood, there are so many who do not love the Lord. But in the midst of that, what a wonderful privilege God has given to some of you to love the Lord and do what you can do for the Lord. Right. I'm going to say seven things, as I said. And the first thing I would like to say about her service is that her service was a service of love. Because there is no other explanation for what she did. Can you think of any other explanation for what she did? She spent a lot of money, came to the Lord Jesus, and anointed him and expressed her love for the Lord. Can you think of any other reason why she did it? Did she come there that morning so that people will praise her? No, in that culture, no one would praise her. You know, she came. In fact, you see later that she was despised by people. So she did not come there to make a name. She did not come there to get publicity. In the next week's magazine, her name would come as one who, you know, did a great thing for the Lord. Was that in her mind? That was not in her mind. There is absolutely no explanation for what she did, except this one explanation. She did it surely out of her love for the Lord. There is no other reason why she did what she did. That challenges all of us, and you especially sisters. All that you do, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the Lord, to the church, to the people of God, should be done out of love for the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do, do it because you love him. Maybe you cook, you take care of your children, maybe you give money, or you give your time, or you spend time in prayer, or you mentor younger women. Whatever you do, do all only because you love the Lord Jesus. So what she did only because she loved the Lord. There is no other reason why she did what she did. And the second observation from this passage is that Her service was a very costly service, expensive. You know, in both the Gospels, that is, in all the three Gospels, Matthew, John, and Mark, all the Gospel writers use that word costly. Here it is there. If you read Matthew, there it is there. If you read John, he also mentions the same thing. So all the Gospel writers say it was, this ointment was very expensive. And the cost of that, you know, was calculated by Judas and his friends. They calculated it as 300 pence. Well, it doesn't make any sense to us, right? When it says 300 pence, what does that mean? If it was in dollars, we could have understood. You see, in those days, 300 pence was the annual wages of an ordinary worker. What is your annual salary? Some of you sisters, many of you working. What's your annual salary? You know how much you make in a year. This was equal to that. So she spent, we don't know if she was a nurse or she was working somewhere, that we don't know. Anyway, she spent that much. That amounts to the total salary of an ordinary worker in those days. So if she was working, we don't know, but let's say she was working, and that was the money that she earned in a whole year. It was very expensive. You know, serving the Lord is always expensive. Not just in terms of money, in terms of time, in terms of energy. You have to travel sometimes, you have to be away from your home, you have to be in different situations, you have to give a lot of time, you have to spend money, whatever that be, it is always expensive. Don't seek to serve the Lord if it is convenient. You know, many people are waiting for a convenient time to serve the Lord. If it is convenient, I'll go to the meeting. Well, whether it is convenient or not, you will go to work, right? Am I right? Do you go to work because it is very convenient every day? No. It's very inconvenient sometimes, still you will go. Even if it is winter, even if it is snowing, you will go. But when it comes to the things of God, we always look for convenience. That shows the shallowness of our commitment. We are more committed to the world and to our work than to the Lord. Very often, we are convenience-oriented Christians. If it is convenient, if it is not expensive, if it is not troublesome, then I will do this. Well, the Lord doesn't want such service. This woman teaches us that all that you do for the Lord should be done, even if it is very expensive and even if it is inconvenient. See, when the Lord loved us, He did not do that because it was convenient. Look at the verses that talk about God's love. John 3:16, all of you know, God so loved that He gave. Galatians 2:20, Christ who loved me and gave Himself for me. Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved us and offered Himself as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. So, wherever you read in many of these places, when you read about God's love or Christ's love, it always talks about sacrifice, giving Himself. So, true love is giving. Without giving, there is no loving. God so loved that He gave. That is how He loved us. If that is how God loved us, we should also be able to love God in return the same way. Be willing to spend and be spent for the Lord. A third observation that you make here in verses 4 and 5 is that her service was a despised service. You know, people despised her. They ridiculed her. They said, why is she wasting so much of money? This cost more than 300 pence. She could have given it to the poor. And they murmured against her. And what did they call her service? A wasteful service, verse 4. They called it, why was this waste of the ointment made? So I want to put it this way, her service was a despised service. Who despised it? People who could not appreciate the value of what you do for God. When you take time off, not just for a holiday, but to go for a retreat, for a meeting, when you do a lot of cooking for your meeting, you know, your friends and others who do not understand that, they would think you are crazy. Why are you wasting so much money? Will you get anything in return? No, you are just giving the food away. You are not selling it. And instead of going to some other place for a holiday, this long weekend, you are going for prayer and, you know, singing and studying God's word. That looks like a waste in the eyes of many people. It's a despised service. I am reminded of David. All of you know this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David came to the field with food, to the battlefield with food to his for his friends, you know, and he was inquiring, hey, what's going on here? And they were trying to explain to him, some of them, what was going on. And then one of his brothers, he got angry, he got mad. He said, why have you come here? I know you have come to see the battle. Where have you left all the sheep? Go home. Who despised him? Not somebody else. His own brother. Sometimes our own sisters, people in our own assembly who are supposed to be encouraging us, they will speak ill of what we are doing for the Lord. That's very strange, right? If unbelievers do that, we can understand. But sometimes people who break bread with us, who are supposed to be encouraging us, standing with us, they themselves will speak ill of us when we do something for the Lord. Oh, you're becoming too spiritual. Don't show up like this. We also love the Lord. All sorts of things they will say. But I want to remind you of one thing. Don't quit. Did David quit that day? No. All right, brother, if you don't like, I'm going away. And if David had gone away that day, Goliath would have gone home with David's brother's head. Do you agree with me?
Yes.
That is what would have happened. And also, David also would have suffered a great loss. Dear sisters, I want to tell you, don't get discouraged. Don't quit because someone said something. Oh, in the conference, that sister was saying this thing about our sister's ministry and next year I'm not going to come. Please, don't be foolish. If David had gone home at that on that day, that morning. Now, I imagine David coming with idli and chutney and sambar, okay? For his brethren, his father sent it in a cloth bag. And his brother scolded him and David says, okay, brother, I'm going home because we don't like me to stay back, I'm going home. So he folds his idli bag, he puts it under his arms and he walks home empty. If he would have gone home that day, he would have gone with an empty hand. But because he insisted on staying, because he refused to quit and continued there, that day when he went home, he had something in his hand. What was that? What was that? Goliath's head. Because he did not, because he refused to go home, listening to the words of his brother, when he went home, God gave him a wonderful present in his hand. Come on, take this boy, take this home. Goliath's head was in his hand. Don't go home, don't quit because someone said something. If what you are doing is scriptural, whatever that be, your meeting or your gathering or whatever, if it is according to the scripture, and if you are doing it for the glory of God, these two criteria must be maintained. What I'm doing, is that scriptural? Does it go with the scripture? Secondly, am I doing this for God's glory? If the answer to these questions is yes, then you go ahead and do it. Don't worry about what others say. The world and even Christendom, even believers will despise you something as she was despised. Don't quit. Don't give up. Go on. Then the next thing, the fourth thing I would like to show you is in verse 6, and Jesus said,
Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. So here the next thing is, it was a commended service. It was commended by whom?
By the Lord.
It was despised by those who hated the Lord, the enemies of the Lord, and it was commended and praised by the Lord himself. I tell you, that is all that ultimately matters. One day when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when our life is going to be evaluated, all that people said, all that people wrote, all that people gossiped about you will not have any value. All that is going to matter is what the Lord knows about you. When they despised, on the other hand, the Lord commended her. That is all that matters. It doesn't matter what others say. You see, what people think of you or people say of you, after 20 years or 25 years, that will have no impact. That will have no relevance. Today you're worried, oh, that sister said this sister said this. You're weeping, you're crying, you're taking up the phone and calling 10 people and you know what she said at that conference. Please don't do all that. Don't waste your time on all that. Don't waste your time. Such things are not going to have any impact at the judgment seat of Christ, and it will have no relevance after a couple of years. But what matters is whether the Lord commends what I am doing. That's what's important. It was a commended service. Now let me stop here for a moment and say something relevant to sisters. You know, very often women are tempted, even believers are tempted, to do something spectacular in the eyes of the world. And the world would despise you if you just remain faithful to your call. See, an example in our society, if there is a sister who is highly qualified and she's just taking care of her children at home, I tell you, most of the sisters, what a waste. Right? Am I right? Have you heard that?
Yes.
What a waste. Then why did you study so much? Well, people think that studying is only to make money. Education is not meant to make money. Education is to make you wiser. Well, some people may go for work if that is necessary. Well, that's between you, your husband and God. You decide that. I'm not going to comment on that. But education is not just to make money. It is to make you wise. It is to train you to live as you should live. So, people despise. And therefore, you know, there's a tendency among people or sisters to do something spectacular. After having done, taken your PhD or after having done your post-graduation, you're just sitting at home, sister, taking care of your children all the time in the kitchen, not making even a single penny. That's the way the world looks at it. Don't worry about that. That's what I'm saying. Don't try to do something spectacular. You know, imagine a scenario like this. Here is a big company like Samsung or, you know, some big company establishing a huge project in a village in India, in a remote village in India. And thousands of people are going to find employment there. And that whole village is going to change its face. It's going to be a blessing to millions of people around. So they're doing a great project in the remote village. So you visit that village. You visit that project site. You see a man there welding. Okay, they're all constructing that big factory. So you ask him, what are you doing, sir? He says, can't you see? I'm just welding. Okay, fine. You go to the next man. He's doing some carpentry work, maybe for the doors or whatever. What are you doing? Well, I'm doing some carpentry work. Then you go to another man. What are you doing? Well, I'm laying bricks. Their answers are absolutely right. Okay? But then you go to another man. What are you doing? He says, we are building a great project for this land. You see the difference between what they said? The answers are right, of course, but their perspective is different.
What are you doing, sister? I am changing the nappy of my child. Okay. What are you doing? I am feeding my child. Okay, what are you doing? I am just giving a bath to my child. What are you doing? I am singing some nursery rhymes to my child. What are you doing, sister? I am telling her Bible stories. All your answers are right and also wrong. Then the right answer is, what are you doing? I am building a generation for God. That is what you are doing. When you change the nappy, when you feed, when you tell stories, when you play with your children, when they climb on you and you play with them, you are building a generation for God. That is the right perspective. The world may despise, but the Lord will commend. That's what I wanted to say. You see, all of you know there's a cross stitch. Huh? You stitch a flower or something on a piece of cloth, and it might take several days, I suppose. Some of you can probably do that very well. But if you look at the downside of it, only some stitches and notes, it doesn't make any sense. If you look at the downside, that is all that you see today when you do something for your children. And one day, God will show you the other side. That is the day when you will have praise of God. If you just look at the downside, wasting your time playing with your child instead of working in a big office as a manager, director, you're just wasting your time in the kitchen. That's what the world would say. But one day, after all the stitches and notes are over, God will turn the other side and show it to you. I'm reminded of a family somewhere where the mother, young mother, is highly qualified. She has a PhD in a very rare field of science. And she has three children. And the youngest one is in class one and the other two are still in nursery. One day they were asked at school, what do you want to become? And the boy said, I want to become a policeman or something like that. And the girl, little girl, not having gone to class one, she was repeatedly asked by her teacher, what do you want to become? She said, I want to become a loving mother. That's what I want to become. She was repeatedly asked, thinking that she probably did not understand what the teacher was trying to ask. But she did it repeatedly. The child said, I want to become a loving mother. See, that is the impact that this educated mother, by not working and staying with the children, taking care of the work God has given her, that is the impact that has made on that little child's life. So, what I mean to say is, see things from God's perspective. The world might despise you, but does the Lord commend what I say? Okay, let's go on to our fifth point. Her service was a timely service. Why do you say it's a timely service? If she had postponed this, in all probability, she would not have been able to do this at any time. Because when you continue to read, immediately the Lord is going to be arrested and he's going to be crucified soon after this. So if she had thought, oh, if I go there, all the men would be there, the Jewish leaders, what will all they think? They would despise me, a lady entering and doing all this publicly. Maybe I'll wait for some other chance when it becomes convenient. I think she would never have been able to do this. That's why we call it, it was a timely service. Do the right thing at the right time. Don't wait for convenience. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow might never come in your life. And it may not offer itself opportunities to serve the Lord as you like. Timely service. Don't waste your time. Do the right thing at the right time. If you can do it now, do it now. And the next thing, the sixth thing I would like to say is in verse 8. The Lord commented and said, she hath done
what she could. That's a beautiful statement, you know. That means, I call it, it was her best service. That was her best service. The maximum that she could do. The best that she could do. She could not have done better. Dear sisters, let me tell you, God doesn't expect you to do things you cannot do. You know, very often we believers think that, oh, God has asked me to do so many things in the Bible that I cannot do. You think God is a taskmaster like Pharaoh, asking you to do things that you cannot do? Will you ask your little child to carry 20 kilo on his head? No. And you think God is asking us to do that? He will never ask us to do that. Do only what you can. That's what the Lord said. She had done what she could. Don't worry about what you cannot do. Be happy about what you can do. And the Lord praised her. The Lord referred to it as her best service. You know, I always speak of Fanny Crosby. Some of you heard it on YouTube. That woman, that baby who became blind because of the negligence of a doctor. When she was still a little babe, she lost both her eyes. She grew up and she trusted the Lord, and God used her to write about 7,000 hymns, including some of the most famous songs. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. And so many of the songs, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. All these songs are written by Fanny Crosby. She's buried here in Connecticut, close to your place. I visited that place some time back. On her tomb, you know what they wrote when they buried her? She had done what she could. That is the verse they wrote on Fanny Crosby's tomb when they buried her. She was blind on both eyes, but she blessed the world by the songs that she wrote. What a tragedy, humanly speaking. Losing both eyes, not being born as blind, but a doctor putting both their eyes, you know, blind because of his negligence. But that did not stop her from loving the Lord or serving the Lord. Now they have changed it. When I went, they changed the original, this thing, and they renovated that tomb. If you can also go and see that in Connecticut. Now they've written four lines of Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, on the tomb. She had done what she could. And finally, the seventh thing. In verse 9, the Lord said, wherever the gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I call it, it was an honored service. The Lord honored her. How did the Lord honor her? See, the Lord honored her by including her story in the scriptures. And wherever this book would go, she would also go. This happened 2,000 years ago in Israel. Now in America, this morning, we are talking about her. Not only here, in Africa, in China, in India, in Europe, anywhere in the world, wherever the word of God has gone, she also has gone. Thousands and thousands of people have preached about her, written expository sermons on her, done Bible studies on her. Sunday after Sunday, even in our assemblies, people speak of her. Did she ever imagine that such things would happen by what she does? That morning when she came out, did she think that, oh, now I will go and anoint and I will become world famous, I will go to America, I will go to Africa? Did she think like that? No. Not by any stretch of imagination. All that she thought, I love the Lord, I want to show it to him. That's it. It's expensive, doesn't matter. And the Lord decided that she has done that wholeheartedly. I must honor her in a way that is far beyond her imagination. She never thought that she was going to be so famous and preachers all over the world are going to preach on her. What a wonderful thing that is. I'll just repeat those seven things. First one, it was a service of love. It was a costly service. It was a despised service by the enemies of the Lord. It was a commended service by the Lord. It was a timely service. And it was her best service. And it was an honored service. So, dear sisters, there is always opportunity, in spite of all the impediments and weaknesses and restrictions you have, there is always scope to love God and to do what you can. Don't worry about what you cannot do, but do what you can. And the Lord, in His wisdom, will honor you in some way or the other and honor your generations. Shall we close again in a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we are so grateful to Thee for Thy word and all that is recorded there for our inspiration, encouragement. Thank You for the life of this dear sister who, in a very simple way, she did what she could. Though it was expensive, she did not count the cost, but she was expressing her love for You. Thank You for reminding us of these wonderful truths this morning. And pray that as men and women, we also may be challenged to love You with all our heart and to do what we can for Your glory and Your honor. And we know that You will definitely bless us, honor us, and our generations. He that honoreth me, I will honor, is Your word. Thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to share these thoughts, pray that these thoughts may linger in our minds in the days to come, so that our lives may be led in a way that is pleasing to God. We thank You and offer this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.